Born in India but living in Ireland for the past 35 years, Kaveri Madhavan has just published her third novel, The Tainted Country. It opens with a fictionalised account of the Connacht Rangers mutiny in 1920s India. And Kaveri Madhavan joins me now. I'm saying the Connacht Rangers, but in fact, in your novel, Kaveri, we are talking about a fictionalised group of people called the Kildare Rangers. But maybe you just remind us of the Connacht Rangers story. And what was it about that story that caught your imagination?
Hi, Sean. Good evening. Thank you so much for having me on your show. The Connacht Rangers mutiny, it's little known outside academia and historians and, history buffs. But it happened in 1920 in India, this regiment that had such an amazing history of valor and honor, they were posted in India several times over 200-300 years. And in the 1920s, when they were there, they mutinied, this, I mean, it's not 100% definite that they mutinied because of what was happening in Ireland with the Black and Tans, but that was part of the reason, And the mutiny was quelled very quickly because the Amritsar massacre had just happened, a few months before, and the British were very keen to make sure that mutiny wouldn't spread to other Irish regiments. So it was quite a sad thing, several men were sentenced to death, but only one sentence was actually carried out, and that was this young soldier, James Daly, from Tirlespass in County Westmeath.
And I believe actually he was then the last British soldier to be executed for a military offence.
That's right, yeah, the very last. So that's the 100th anniversary of that. Of his, of his death, and the last soldier to be executed is coming up on the 2nd of November of this year.
So you then took that story as a starting point, but the Connacht Rangers don't exist in your story. We have the Kildare Rangers. I think you're living in Kildare, aren't you, Sam?
yeah. So what happened was, Sean, I was a good say maybe a third way into the book when planning to write the story of the mutiny, but the more I researched it, I realized that the story actually lay in what happened after the mutiny, and so just for me to have a bit of fictional license, I decided to change the name of the regiment, and I turned them into the Kildare Rangers because I live in Kildare, and I've lived here for many years, 20 years, and my soldier comes from Strafford, where I live, so the story then. Instead of being exclusively about the mutiny, actually, it's the story of what happened to all the children that were fathered by Irish people, Irish men, Irish soldiers and civil servants who went out to India and served in the British Raj. I mean, it's a little-known fact that, for the 300 years of the British Raj, Irish people, were part of that, part of keeping the Raj going. They worked in the military, in the civil service, in the railways, the telegraph, all kinds of different things. And there was this terrible, Victorian belief that sexual abstinence in the tropics was dangerous.
Which is why we find your character Michael Flaherty in the opening section of the book being sent off to sexually satisfy himself, or he's been sent off to a brothel essentially.
Yes.
But he's a guy who couldn't cope with that, and that kind of gives us a sense of the perhaps a type of honour in the case of Michael Flaherty. I presume that's what you were intending. But the interesting thing is the fact here that this young Irish man, although he was British at that time, because we hadn't achieved our independence at that point, so he was part of the British Raj.
Yes,
he falls in love with a young Anglo-Indian girl, and that Anglo-Indian aspect is very important in the story that you're telling, and in, I think, some of the themes that you're exploring, Kaveri.
Yes, absolutely, because I think being being mixed race, the problems of being mixed race has never changed. What was then is now. I mean, it's playing out all over the world, as you can see. So, it's a theme that has just you know, it's a problem, not a theme, that's the wrong word. It's a problem, an attitude towards mixed race people that has just never has gone. You know, you're never part of your father's people, you're never part of your mother's people, you know. So, you know, in her case, Michael Flaherty falls in love with an Anglo-Indian girl, and she, you know, she's not white enough to be Irish, she's not brown enough to be Indian. And, you know, she's stuck like a lot of her community. This is not a fictional community. The Anglo-Indians are real people. They are the progeny of Irish, Scot, Welsh, and English men who, you know, who were part of the British Raj, whether they were military or civilian.
And Rose, who's your character, Rose Toomey is your character in the book. She's not without her own prejudices, and you could even say her own racist opinions.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the, you know, one of the peculiarities of India, you know, because there's such an underlying caste, color barrier, you know, that has gone on for centuries. So, you know, she's Anglo-Indian. She definitely considers herself to be several rungs above the ordinary Indian. You know, so.
And again, the type of attitude that Rose and people of her class and of her ethnic background would have had was they wanted to be more British almost than the British themselves.
Yes, yes. I think, you see, for them, they saw their way out of poverty. They saw their way out of, out of the limbo that they were in India. The way out was actually to leave India, you know, to physically leave India. And the prejudice was, they also were faced a lot of prejudice from Indians, you know. So it wasn't from, there was a reason why they wanted to leave. Because they were very badly treated. I mean, I'd say only in the last 20, 25 years have Anglo-Indians, you know, actually just, you know, become Indians.
Yeah, which brings us to part two of the book, because part one of the book essentially deals with the story of Michael and Rose falling in love with each other and how that pans out. But that's for the reader to find out when they read. Part two of the book, we're in 1982. I do give a little bit away by saying there are two characters here called Toomey, Jerry Toomey and May Toomey, brother and sister. And obviously there's going to be a relationship of some kind with Rose. We also find a young man called Richard Elmer, and Michael Flaherty, who we spoke about in part one, he had been serving this Colonel Elmer when he was in the Raj.
That's right,
he was his officer. So we're in 1982, and we've a different type of attitude. How have things changed in terms of the attitude towards the Anglo-Indian?
Well, in 1982, they were still very much, ostracized. Well, not, yeah. Oh, I could say ostracized, because, you know, it was if you came from, you know, a Hindu family, it would be so frowned upon to go out with an Anglo-Indian girl. My father was in the army, and I distinctly remember him telling me that as a young officer, they were not allowed to bring an Anglo-Indian girl to the officer's mess. I mean, how awful is that? You know,
yeah.
So yes, in 1982, it was still definitely very prevalent, very, very prevalent. You know, bias against mixed race people.
And Richard, who is the grandson? I can't remember the exact relationship with Colonel. Yeah, the grandson of Colonel Elmer.
Yes.
So essentially, he's coming from an Anglo-Irish situation into May, who is the two generations down from Rose. She's the granddaughter of Rose, who we met in the 1920 section of the novel. Here we have that intersection of Anglo-Irish and Anglo-Indian. How similar do you think the two communities found themselves, or certainly the two that you give us, Richard and May?
Yeah, very similar, Sean. I think the only difference was that Anglo-Indians were poorer, you know, than Anglo-Irish people. But otherwise, they faced the same prejudice. You know, the Anglo-Indians were never Irish enough. I'm sorry, Anglo-Indians were never Irish enough, they were never Indian enough. And then the Anglo-Irish were never English enough, never were they Irish enough. Do you know, I mean, the constant need to prove yourself, you know, it's hard going, you know, to constantly have to prove, you know, prove who you are, your loyalties and where your loyalties lie. It made for a very confused community itself.
Yeah.
They themselves would have been quite confused.
There's another little theme running through the book that I think I'd just like to explore before we finish up, which is Jerry Toomey, who is the sister of, or sorry, the brother of May.
Yes.
The relationship between May and Richard is the one we're following in 1982, and whether that will come to fruition or not. But he's a local forester. This gives you a chance, I think, to talk about something that it seems to me from reading the book is dear to your heart. It's a very different landscape. Jerry's grandfather had painted this area. Jerry is a photographer. He goes yes. out to see the landscapes that his grandfather painted. They're very yes. different.
Yes, yes. Yeah, because, you know, the way the tea companies, mining companies, logging companies have just, you know, run roughshod over this beautiful, absolutely pristine, it's, you know, it's unique biodiversity in, you know, and it's kind of been labeled now in recent years as a unique biosphere in the world. There are particular areas called sholas, which have flora and fauna that is found nowhere else in the world. It's such a, the Nilgiri Hills are such a unique, beautiful part of southern India, and you know, this young Anglo-Indian forester, he's so committed to looking after it. You know, it's like it's his own, his very own, you know, backyard, you'd say, you know, and he grew up there, so. I did a lot of research, and I was really taken up with the area. I mean, I am from South India originally, but I went back and I trekked a lot with a guide in the Sholas, and I just fell in love with the place, and I could see for myself, even, you know, in the years that I was there researching it, you know, how much of destruction had taken place because of the, you know, basically yeah. because politicians own the tea companies, the logging companies, the mining yeah. companies.
Yeah, it's a familiar post-colonial story.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
and the love of the region in India certainly comes across in the book as well. That's Kaveri Madhavan there speaking to us about her novel, The Tainted Country, which is published by Hope Road Publishing.